Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Best day of the week.
Happy Monday. Let's go. Screaming for the data. Early morning energy.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Not the sweatshirt. Not the swag. I guess ours is in the mail.
Yeah. No, so I'm going the Jonathan Wicks route. Shout out to Jonathan Wicks with Well and Good. I asked him how he gets all his swag to have his brand on it, and he just orders stuff off of Amazon that he likes and knows it fits him well, and then he takes it in. Has someone locally do it. So we're going to go old school. But welcome back, Jamie Lane. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's been a good start of the year. Excited to be back.
Excited for Q2?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a big quarter.
I saw some of your graphs and data on Morning Brew this morning. So you guys are going mainstream.
Yeah, chart of the week. CNN, Bloomberg, Economist, like it was, I think, yeah, it was, it's always exciting when your like work gets like national acclaim, like,
in the group chat, I'm always like, guys, what do we need to do to follow in Jamie's footsteps to go mainstream?
What I love though is I asked my wife, I got invited to be on CNBC and it was at 7:50. I was like, sweetie, like, national TV, like, you good? And she's like, that's kind of during bedtime. Like, I'm not sure. Like, it's first time on national TV. Like, it's going to be like 5 minutes. I'll help afterwards.
Do we have a clip?
Well, we have a, I don't have a clip. I have the graph for the listeners. Sorry, you're going to have to go find it on AirDNA's website or somewhere on social. It's not hard to find, as Jamie jokingly said to me in the background before we hit the live, but we'll show our live viewers for everyone tuning in this beautiful graph. So Jamie, walk us through what's happening here.
And essentially what we wanted to do was show if we could see the eclipse based entirely on short-term rental data. So what this image shows is April 8th tonight and what occupancy is in every city in the U.S. And essentially, we just colored the dots by the total occupancy level, with red being 100% occupied, blue, dark blue being 10% occupied. And you can just clearly see the path. And on my Twitter, I actually shared a GIF of essentially every day leading up to and afterwards. And essentially, you can see and the eclipse path sort of playing out as you get closer. Last night was peak night, April 7th, came down a little bit, but essentially people were taking the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, peak occupancy across the sort of middle swath of the country for the eclipse.
Yeah, it's interesting because in northern New York, in the Adirondacks, where it's passing over, we have a place up there. So like a lot of my family's going up, but it's like the deadest season up there right now because it's mud season. So people are trying to book, but there's literally nothing open. So it's it's an interesting, those people who are open are making a killing.
Yeah, dynamically priced. Boost, baby, boost. Yeah, restaurants, boost. Baggage fees, whatever. Cleaning.
Hey,
fees,
Michael, we'll get into that topic here soon, my friend. I saw Brian Chesky move retweeted your tweet. Is it still called a tweet, by the way?
Or
it,
we put still called a tweet.
Yeah. An X. Yeah.
And I think internally we called it the white whale, like Brian retweeting our DNA. First time ever. Yeah, absolutely. You don't get a lot of retweets from Brian Chesky. I feel like that's not a common occurrence.
No, at all.
I don't have a Twitter, so, or an X, whatever they're called.
Well, yeah, it was trending on Reddit or TikTok and everywhere. Nope, yeah.
Don't have those either.
But one of the surprising things,
we're really on the pulse.
Yeah, one of the surprising things.
We're lagging. My bad.
Yeah, one of the surprising things though was ADRs didn't actually increase that much. So overall, we only saw like a 20% increase in ADRs. So you think like a 99% occupancy in a lot of these cities, people would be really pushing rates, but we just didn't see it. Like people booked so far in advance. A lot of people got booked before they had a chance to really adjust rates up. So like now you look at, I pulled the data last week, like what is the average available rate? And it's over $600, but the average booked rate was only $280. So like people really missed the boat in terms of raising rates to and sort of really capture all this demand coming in for the eclipse.
Go ahead, Michael.
They thought ahead. How does this compare to Taylor Swift concerts?
It's funny. My quote on most of the media organizations was like, this was essentially like a Taylor Swift concert in every city along the path, which the local news organizations just ate up. They love that analogy. But yeah, essentially, occupancy similar. But not nearly the rate increases. So some cities did, like Fredericksburg, Texas, like Hill Country rates were up 50%. But like Dallas rates were only up 15%. A lot of the Adirondacks, some of the areas up north, Buffalo, Niagara Falls were able to capitalize on ADR increases, but most of the middle of the country just didn't think that everyone was going to be coming for this.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you like the hype around this has been so crazy. I feel like it was, you know, maybe people thought like if you're in that area, it's going to be a cool thing that you see and not this like demand driver. Certainly not like Taylor Swift. I love her. I love what she does. I love her rates. I hope she goes on tour forever.
The other point was that we actually saw available listings go down. So you think like a Super Bowl or Taylor Swift concert, like people come in, but like locals aren't really going to the Super Bowl or going to the concert. There's just not enough prices to get into a Taylor Swift concert or Super Bowl are just outrageous. But this is like a free event. So if you happen to have a second home in the path of the eclipse, a lot of people are like, you know what? Like I'm going to use it. I'm going to invite my friends and family and we're going to make a thing out of this where we actually saw a smaller number of listings available during the event than typical, which I think is a fun thing for the industry of like, yeah, it's great that everyone's not able to like capture on the demand, but the fact that you and can use the house for a cool thing like this, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. Eclipse parties. I love it. Well, okay, sweet. So a couple things for the live viewers. I would love to know if they are in the path of the eclipse. Did you get booked? Did you not? And if you did, get booked, did you miss out on the $600 a night payday, or did you fall victim to the $20 or so. And then also, quick shout out to our partners at Sojo. If you're in the path of the eclipse, you probably had nothing to worry about, because guess what? Sojo got your amenities automated to you. They are saving you on cleaning fees, turnover time. They're not just automating your amenities, they're saving you money. And if you are an operator in the path of the eclipse, you probably made a ton plus while using Sojo. So you're welcome. You know, go to getsojo.com. That's sojo.com/GMH to get a special offer from them. So that is super exciting. And of course, hello, Jeremy Weiss, always tuning in from Israel. He's on every show. I got to give him a big shout out. Super fan over there. But anyways, there's a couple other topics that we can definitely dive into. Brandy, I want to know, what one do you want to go with next?
Let's talk about some updates at Vrbo. We've had a heavy Q1, so we'll just continue that trend. But just, you know, we saw a lot of updates from Airbnb about these badges that are being given out, and Vrbo has kind of lagged usually behind Airbnb in like these, you know, kind of product features. But one thing, instead of adding, they were getting rid of the boost feature. And I'm not totally surprised about this, because it was kind of convoluted in some ways. Like, it wasn't totally clear on how you could use it, or I just think that it didn't, you know, it didn't take off the way they might have seen. There was like a little bit of a gamification aspect that I think they might have expected that didn't happen. But I actually think this is a good thing. Not that OTAs all copy each other, but if the general customer base knows how to use and like read all these websites, I think that that is a good thing, that everybody kind of knows how to be it, to be an educated shopper. You don't have to like re-educate yourself every time you log on to a new platform.
Yeah. If you're good enough to gamify different OTAs and different systems, then you know a lot about it and you're well-educated, and that's a good thing for the industry. So Thibaut puts out the report that Vrbo is ending the Boost Visibility Program. And so there were two factors that Vrbo did. They did a quick onboarding if you were a super host of Airbnb. And then there was a bit of a boost for a period of time for those listings. It is my understanding that the onboarding is still there. It's just going to be more location dependent based on how much demand there is for those markets. And then the boost aspect of it is going to be around long term. It's just a short term technical challenge that they might be dealing with, melding all of the different systems together. They've been very public about melding the systems together. So I think at the end of the day, you know, we're all happy and anxiously awaiting Vrbo's completion and Expedia's completion of these tech changes. But there's going to be a big differentiator for Expedia at that point, which is the One Key program and the first real loyalty on an OTA. So I do expect the long-term benefits to be present. But let's see what actually happens here. Some of this is hearsay, and some of this is you know, reporting that might be out before Vrbo puts it out officially.
Jamie Lane, give us a scoop. Give us the data. We're screaming for it right now.
So I think Vrbo's got a huge opportunity here with Boost, primarily because like it's so much like a Vrbo's like good supply is professionally managed. And like Airbnb has talked significantly about how like they don't want to do like promoted listings because they think it's going to be at the detriment of individual hosts. So you think back to Vrbo, like they've got a great sort of supply of property managers. They don't necessarily care, or it seems like they don't care as much about hurting individual hosts versus promoting their professional manager supply. So that the professional managers are willing, able to pay to get higher up on the search rankings, like, and get their listings in front of people. Like, you'd think this would be a huge revenue opportunity for them if they do it right. Because, and Airbnb said, like, we know we can do it right. We just are worried about what that means of professional hosts sort of and getting higher up on the ranks. They generally have lower ratings. Like, we just don't want to see that dynamic play out. So, and then like they're talking about premier hosts. So we pulled the data like of sort of active listings, more than three views, about 57% of listings are premier hosts. So like saying that they're going to make it a bit harder to get that and get that badge, like, I think makes sense. Cause once you get to over 50% of listings having the premier host badge, like, it's not really that special, right? If more than half the listings have it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, it becomes like, yeah, it becomes less special. It's less, you know, it's not as rare. But then at the other side, it also means that maybe there's more high quality product on the site. So that, as you know, as a booker, as a guest, you're like, I have all these options. I'm not like taking a gamble, because I think now some people have associated, like, if you're not a super host or a premier partner, you don't have some sort of badge, like, there's so much hesitation to book. And so it's like, you know, I like on Airbnb where they have the rare find. I think that's like a cool badge that, you know, can be used where this is something really unique. It's always booked. Grab it while it's hot. But I kind of like that it's that the criteria is reasonable to become a premier host, because it's like, I am a good operator, individual host, and you can stay with me and trust me with your vacation. And then maybe there's like something super, I don't know. It, then it creates like tiers to like,
yeah.
But
you may not care about staying in the top 5%. You just don't want to stay in the bottom 20%.
Exactly.
Right? Like that's at least how I am. I'm not the most picky in terms of accommodations, despite having been spoiled by this industry for years. It's something that just has never really, I don't know. I've never gotten bougie over accommodations yet. Hopefully one day we'll get there. But yeah, I just want to make sure it's a clean room. I can get into it when I'm expected to. I'm not getting price gouged. And that's really it. Like, it's pretty simple. You're supplying a good place for people to spend a vacation or a business trip or a single night. And you know, there's levels of hospitality that can move you up into the top 10%, top 5%, and you can charge accordingly for it. But at the end of the day, the basics are what matter. And if 50% of Vrbo's listings are, you know, approved, they're clean, guests have had good experiences in them, that's a home run.
And is a 4-4, I think that it's a 4-4 and above is premier host or gets a premier host. Is 4-4 good?
I would say it kind of depends, because
in my opinion, anything below 4.7 is kind of my opinion.
Mid, as the kids would say.
Tell us the data. Mid. I'm screaming for it. What percentage of properties are below a 4.4?
And that's just what and it's not a lot. But so we did the average review score for premier hosts. It was like 4.8. And for non-premier hosts, it was down and like 4.6. So there are quite a few non-premier hosts that aren't meeting the other criteria. I was actually funny story going through with my mom's Vrbo pages last night for her properties, and she wasn't premier host. I was like, what are you doing, mom? And she had not accepted too many listings. Like her acceptance rate was just real low. And I'm like, she's like, well, I didn't really have my calendar set right. And like,
bless her heart.
Yeah.
Message for all the listeners out there, help your parents out with their listings, dang it. All right. Right. Come on, help them, yeah. Help them out. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know what they don't know, you know?
Or let a pro manage it.
Yeah.
That call too. Me crazy. Call me crazy. Yeah.
Never.
You gotta be careful out there. There's some people a little sketch, but yeah. I let my parents run their Airbnb now. I don't wanna. I'll help them out. You know, they're 67.
Did you just call it an Airbnb, Will?
Their Airbnb account. There you go.
Their account.
I was about to be like,
they don't have a Vrbo account. They don't want to manage two calendars and they don't want to get a PMS. So it's like, okay, well, and you're stuck. So that's what I tell them. Anyways, I digress. Let's move on to the next topic. Next topic, price gouging. So, okay, airlines are getting creative with their dynamic pricing on baggage fees. So, Jamie Lane, you, for the listeners, let's set some context here. In the group chat that we have behind the scenes, behind the show, there's a couple of them. We have one with Jamie. We have one of the three of us. We have one with another crew and another crew. It's a lot of group chats. But the one with Jamie specifically, anytime there's anything revenue management or dynamic pricing or anything with fees, Michael and I kind of like to go out there and poke the bear on saying it's price gouging on certain things. And Jamie responds back pretty intelligently. I will give him that. It's he comes with his pretty good remarks.
Let us wind him up.
Yeah, he doesn't. But Jamie, let's talk about pricing and dynamic fees here for a second. You asked us before the podcast started if any of us are doing dynamic cleaning fees. Question on you. Do you think dynamic cleaning fees, dynamic food pricing, dynamic this, surge pricing on Ubers or Lyfts, other things like that, do you think this is going to become a very norm across multiple industries and multiple sectors? Or do you think our industry specifically is going to avoid the fee dynamic placement stuff? Or what? What do you think is going on?
I'm a firm believer that dynamic is the future, that flat pricing for anything that is variable in nature, like where demand varies significantly, just can't last forever because people are going to figure out a way to sort of price higher when they can sort of capture more revenue, when they can sort of get that excess profitability. Uber was able to do it very successfully for with surge pricing, along with Lyft. And hotels always done it sort of around peak versus non-peak season. Short-term rentals are doing much better at it, not nearly as good as hotels or the airlines in terms of picking off or pricing accordingly. And I see, and we talked about it with the Eclipse. Do you see it with and how people price even the off season? Like they just do not vary their rates enough to continue to capture demand or during peak season to get the price that they could have gotten. And we're seeing it now with the OTAs allowing for dynamic cancellation policies. Like if you during off season, like you can have a flexible, during peak season, you can have a strict. I think that's just the start of essentially making everything dynamic in terms of your listing capabilities and policies. So we already see it on price. We're starting to see it on cancellation policies. Dynamic cleaning fees, I suspect, are coming soon. Dynamic, and I suspect maybe Airbnb service fee might at some point be dynamic. Actually, we already see it based on long-term stays for short-term stays. So on 30-plus night stays, and Airbnb is going to drop their service fee accordingly. So it's all coming.
I think that part of the problem, I agree with the dynamic need. I think that there is a way to take this too far. You know, there's the example that was really famous of like Wendy's doing a dynamic menu, and I just like the biggest eye roll. But like for the technology and the ability for you to do this at scale has to be there, because the changing of all these rates within a large system can be incredibly cumbersome. So I think that like, you might have variations in that dynamic, like, okay, for my peak season, I have this price, my shoulder season, this price, and so on. But to have it be truly dynamic where it's fluctuating the way that we, you know, price or we do our pricing, that I just think won't happen for a while. Because it's one thing to be managing all of the rates. So, you know, on a daily, hourly basis, and then to throw in like, okay, now do that for all those listing types. Like it's just like double work. So I think when the technology is really seamless, then that will help. But you also now have to have people paying attention to all those rates as well.
Yeah. I mean, we look at resort fees are getting pushed back by Biden, right? Like he'd wipe out resort fees. The ability to have predictable, consistent pricing doesn't have to be flat pricing, but predictable, consistent. That's how you create reliability and loyalty and brand trust. And if I roll up to Chick-fil-A at 8 a.m. at their peak time and the price is doubled, well, no shit, Sherlock, it's breakfast. Like that's when people go to eat Chick-fil-A breakfast. Is it breakfast time? So if you want to make that sandwich $20, I just won't go anymore, right? So you're going to lose, you're going to alienate a lot of your customers that want to know what they're getting into. And if you can't keep it predictable, like if it's $9.02 versus $8.99, okay, fine. You can take 3 cents. But if you're actually going to dynamically price it based on how long the line is outside, you're done, right? You're going to lose so many customers that just want a predictable experience, right? Because if it's $20 for breakfast, then well, I'd rather go somewhere else that has a better, healthier breakfast. And the same can be done with cleaning fees. Does it actually cost more to clean the apartment in July as it does in February? Maybe. I mean, if it does, then you should price it accordingly, but it shouldn't be dynamic to the point that it's updating daily, right? Like yeah. Seasonal pricing, there's lunch menus and dinner menus at restaurants, right? It's okay. Everyone knows it's predictable. But I think if we get into this world where 10 people just ordered a Chick-fil-A sandwich, now the price is higher, it's gonna backfire big time.
Yeah, my concern, like listening to you guys talk and then also thinking about kind of how I see my friends behave or other people behave in society with pricing and certain things. And my concern is that I think people, we've seen it mainstream on TikTok, on Twitter and other social media platforms where people dog on Airbnb like, oh man, hotels are so much better because of cleaning fees, like they list out all the things, right? Like, why am I paying $300 for a cleaning fee when I have to like strip my bed and do the dishes and do this? So like we've seen that happen already and it's kind of dwindled down, I would say maybe. So like, okay, if we get too dynamic on the pricing, then is this going to then again backfire, create a mainstream effect where then short-term rentals become the very low tier last resort option for lodging when people are looking to book for travel and other things like that. And also just gets a lot of the backlash. Like it's still the redhead stepchild sometimes in the industry where it's like, oh yeah, short-term rentals, whatever. Like I'm a hotelier. So they have that type of kind of like, I don't know, tone with it. But then the other piece is like, I'm also one of the people as a consumer that pays for convenience most times. I don't care if the Uber Eats price is a little bit more expensive than actually going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A or whatever the pieces. Like I'm paying for convenience because I don't want to get in my car, do this. So like, will it go to the extreme of turning people off from the sector, or will it be more of a convenience play and they're just going to pay for convenience?
There's one more thing that I'd like to add before letting Jamie defend price gouging. But the whole tipping culture in America pre-COVID was, I mean, normal, right? Like it had been the same for 25 years. COVID hits. And then, I mean, I myself was tipping 50% in some cases just because, you know, I felt bad for these people and their employment had vanished. And so trying to help out where we could. And then now it's like you go to Chick-fil-A doesn't have this, but I'm going to keep using Chick-fil-A because I love Chick-fil-A. Plug them. But you go to any fast food and it's like, you want to add a tip? And it's like, no, I don't want to add a tip to my fast food where I have to stand at the counter, pick it up, or I'm driving through. Like, no, that's your job, is to like shake a drink at Starbucks and hand it to me. So yeah. The whole tipping culture has gotten completely out of hand. And I know I'm not the only one who is revolted by it. And I still feel guilty when I click the zero. And I know they want you to feel guilty when you click the zero, but it's just unnecessary. So if tipping culture is just the tip of the iceberg for how bad revenue management can get in the future.
So I'll just do a quick defending of just as an operator, the chance to actually make profitability in this industry, a lot of times happens through pricing correctly during those really high demand periods and the ability to get incremental more revenue during peak times, whether it's through cleaning fees, service fees, the average rates. Like, if we're not making money as operators, like, we're not going to be in business. And then the other piece is dynamic pricing works in both ways. Like, during the off season, like, if you cut and not getting the bookings you need, like the ability to cut your cleaning fee in half, like typically charging $300, like charge $150, and that's going to get people booking. And the ability, and all this is like for this to happen in a more automated way, so that Brandy's revenue managers don't have to be like sitting there like,
hey,
oh, I need to change it this time. I need to adjust it up, down. Like,
no argument at all on flights or hotel rooms or short-term rentals. Argument on cleaning fees or food prices or drink prices. So yes, I'm with you. I think everyone needs to be dynamically priced their property based on demand and seasonality. But there is a limit to it. Don't dynamically price your early check-in fee.
Well, I was going to say, like, I Jamie, I do. Brandy's over here like, ooh, caught red-handed. No, I do agree. Like, profitability is key, right? But like, I also believe in not just like depending on dynamic pricing for profitability. You also need to depend on operation efficiency. So like, the more efficient you get, the more able you are to actually increase that margin. And I think when people are, and I've heard this from like Caleb Hannon, who was Stay Lake Norman, like, he's always talking about everyone's trying to fill another bucket when they're not focusing on the bucket that's already filled, right? Like, the inventory that you already have, the operation you already have, being super efficient with that and increasing your margin there is super important before you start chasing the next one. So I think like, it's kind of like, it goes in both hands, right? Dynamically price, yes. Profitability, yes, but efficiency is key as well. So I don't know. That's just my take. Brandy.
Well, we'll keep tuning back into that. But before we sign off for the week, this last weekend, I was in Asheville, North Carolina for a bachelorette party. And I wanted to give a shout out to Alan at Poplar at Bear Wallow Mountain. They're also managed by Yonder. They were super, super great. They gave us a free, very, very, very late checkout just appreciated that hospitality. A bunch of slightly hungover ladies always appreciate a free late checkout. So great stay. So if you're going to Asheville, which apparently now is like a hot spot for these kind of trips, definitely check them out.
Sweet. Now I know. Anytime I have a bachelorette party, staying in one of my homes, extra free complimentary late checkout.
Yes. There lots of thankful ladies giving you reviews wherever you say to leave the review.
Love it. Love it. Jamie, what's up for you on the circuit? I know we're a minute over or two, but what's up next? I know you're going to be in Banff for the Can Stays Rental Alliance Summit or conference hosted by Catherine Ratcliffe. We had her on Slick Talk last week, but where else are you going to be this next coming month or so?
I'll be in New York this week for ULI, Urban Land Institute. So excited about that. And then, out to Banff for Can Stays. I'll be there over my birthday weekend. Pretty excited about that. Never been to Banff. And combined work, outdoors.
You're taking the family, right?
No, I'm going to be by myself.
Sounds really torn up about that.
Yeah.
get some good night's sleep. Get some, good hiking in. Actually saw Mateo from No BS Podcast. Ran him to him into the street on the street this past weekend. He was hanging out with Neely Khan in Atlanta. But Mateo's and John Sokinger are going out there too. So looks like it should be a great contingent out there for Can Stays.
Yeah, I love it. Catherine's got a really good lineup. We talked pretty extensively on the setup of it. The podcasters are going to be there, all the media coverage. So she's killing it. Shout out to Catherine Ratcliffe. So it's super exciting. I also know there's a couple, like, for the listeners and the viewers, Stay tuned tomorrow, maybe. If not tomorrow, next week. GMH has a little announcement. So we are, I'm eager to say it, but I won't because I told people I wouldn't. But anyways, stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Best tease ever. And then last shout out, Shorties Awards. Congrats to all those nominated. Go vote. This is kind of the one big award season of the year for the industry. So make sure you cast your votes.
Vote for Storied.
Storied Collection.
Vote for Storied and AirDNA and every other company that's been on the podcast before. Brandy, was Romy nominated at all for anything?
No, not this year.
They're past winners. Past winners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Once you won once, it's pretty much
gotta let other people shine, you know?
I know. You're so humble. You're so humble, Brandy. Well, we all can't be like you. But hey, for all the listeners out there, tune in every week, Monday and Wednesday, soon to be another day of the week. Make sure you like and subscribe, watch the YouTubes, get on Twitter or X with us. Make sure you send this to your mom, your dad, your sister, your nieces, your nephews, everybody in between. And of course, like always, thank you to Sojo for being a great partner with us. And we'll see you all again next week.